The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, August 15th, 2022. The commentary for this week was written by Patricia Marks, an ordained Episcopal deacon in the Diocese of Georgia after she retired from teaching English at Valdosta State University. The commentary for Monday, August 15th, begins as follows. From Luke, book 1, verses 47 to 48a. "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servants." What would it take to welcome Christ as joyfully as Mary did? How do we follow Mary's path? Her life was not easy, as she would ultimately see her son crucified on the cross. Yet here she rejoices in being chosen by God as the mother of the one who changed her life and our lives as well, forever. Mary gives thanks for her lowliness. Pride and power have no value for God, who transforms the definition of social standing. Given the gift of a child, Mary rejoices in God her Savior and praises God for lifting up the lowly and feeding the hungry with good things. Perhaps we need quiet time away from the twittering and buzzing that fills our lives. We need to turn from pride to selflessness, from power to discernment. We may not sing out in the beautiful words of the Magnificat, but with the Holy Spirit's help, we may find the courage to pray, "Purify our conscience, O God, that we too may rejoice in all that we have been given." And now from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And the moving forward question for this day is, how can you live and love like Mary, rejoicing in all God has given you? Next, the commentary for Tuesday, August 16th, it begins as follows. From the book of John, chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." I love the prayers, music, and sermons in church on Sunday. Sometimes, though, when I'm distracted, all I hear are words, not meaning. I'm like a student struggling to learn a new language. Words, after all, are more than letters arranged neatly in a row. They have context, history, and significance. "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life," says Jesus to those persecuting him because he broke Sabbath laws by healing the sick and lame. The point is not that we shouldn't study the words of the Bible. After all, these words testify to who he is. Rather, Jesus is saying that if we go to the Word itself, to him, we will feel his presence and see his works. If we want life, not merely words, we need to ask Jesus to abide in us. Only in that way can we understand the Word and find eternal life. And now, scripture from the book of John, chapter 5, verses 30 to 47. Witness to Jesus. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that his testimony to me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. Not that I accept such human testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his life. Light. But I have a testimony greater than John's, the works that the Father has given me to complete. The very works that I am doing testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified on my behalf. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you, because you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the one who alone is God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? Just a reminder, that was the witness to Jesus, and it was from John chapter 5, verses 30 to 47. And the moving forward question for this day is, how can you keep the words of Jesus from going in one ear and out the other? How can you truly live into the Word of God? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, August 17th. It begins as follows. Also from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 15, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Each fall, teachers spend their own money buying stacks of pencils and notebooks for needy students. That is part of being a true educator, feeding students in multiple ways. A hungry student cannot study well. A deprived one can't take notes without pen and paper. Teachers help so that students can learn. Jesus, a true teacher, has seen his students hurting so badly they cannot hear him, so he heals them. They are too hungry to listen, so he feeds them. Then the crowd, rejoicing in his bountiful gifts, wants to make him king. It seems reasonable, but what the crowd misses, and what we sometimes miss too, is that Christ comes not to rule us, but to heal and feed us in spirit. Empowered by Jesus, we are commissioned to become teachers, to share with others the greatest lesson of all. And now from Scripture, John chapter 6, verses 6 to 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. The moving forward question for this day, consider helping a local teacher buy extra supplies for students. Why not? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, August 18th. It begins as follows, again from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 27a. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." We looked forward to the dinners our Austrian friend loved to make. After we had our fill of schnitzel and blintzes, she treated us to a Dobos Torte, a celebratory many-layered cake with caramel topping. Though the food was amazing, best of all was the company. We shared stories and laughter, memories and bright hopes for the future. Surely the crowd that followed Jesus up the mountain rejoiced as they shared a feast of loaves and fishes. But when they meet with Jesus the next day, they learn the difference between actual food, which perishes, and the gift of life, which lasts forever. The food Jesus offers is not just loaves and fishes. It is true manna. Jesus teaches us an important lesson about what perishes and what endures. Jesus asks the crowd, "Ask us to look beyond and beneath the surface." Just as we go to a friend's house, not just for a delicious dinner, but for loving company, we are nourished by Jesus with the food of his Spirit and presence. And now the scripture for this day from John chapter 6, verses 16 to 27. "When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, 'It is I, don't be afraid.' Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading." The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Here's the moving forward thought for this day. Plan a dinner party for friends and include someone you may not know well. Now on Reflections Day by Day, let's turn to the commentary for Friday, August 19th. It begins as follows from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 30. "So they said to him, 'What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?' Years ago, I grabbed a book and headed to an outdoor concert to avoid a blind date. A young man sat down next to me, and we started to talk about the book. The rest is history. I didn't know that he would become an astrophysicist dedicated to teaching and helping others in a multitude of ways, or that he would become my beloved husband for more than 50 years. That day, all I saw was the outside. All I heard was his voice. I was like the crowd who, after being fed loaves and fishes, asked Jesus for a sign. He was there, but they didn't really see, didn't believe. So when they asked to receive the bread of heaven, always Jesus has to remind them that he is the bread of life. To reach for that bread of life means that we will never be hungry, never be thirsty. All we will need to do is look beneath the surface at the Christ who is present always with us, and we will find eternal life. Now the full story in the scripture from John chapter 6, verses 27 to 40. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and as written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. The moving forward question for this day, do you ask God for signs? How has God answered you? Now the commentary for Saturday, August 20th, begins as follows. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day, from John 6, verse 44. I was surprised when one of my students with the bad habit of making wisecracks and skipping quizzes came to my office. Casually leaning in the doorway, he asked to drop my course. I regarded him for a minute, then answered, "You're an intelligent person. Come back later after thinking it through." He looked surprised and left abruptly. That afternoon he returned, fighting tears. He said that no one had ever given him a second chance. "I'll try," he gulped and hurriedly left. Sometimes the surface can hide more than we might guess. Those who complained about Jesus assume that because they knew Joseph and Mary, he was an ordinary person. Just an ordinary person. Yes, he was flesh and blood, but more than that, he was the Son of God, willing to sacrifice his mortal body for the life of the world. Jesus sees beneath who we think we are. He looks past the surface into our real selves. We too need to hear and learn to look deeper so that we may open the door to eternal life. The full scripture is from John 6, verses 41 to 51. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Well, Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now the moving forward question for this day, to whom do you need to give a second chance? And now our final commentary for this week. It is for Sunday, August 21st, and it begins as follows from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 14. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." When I broke my foot, life changed dramatically. I couldn't drive or stroll in my yard or even climb my porch steps. Imagine what it must have been like for the woman Jesus healed. Bent over for 18 years, she must have struggled to hug her children, cook for the family, and even get dressed. Yet here she is, determined to go to the synagogue to hear the new teacher. What a lesson she learns. This woman, unidentified and unimportant by the standards of the day, is the one to whom Jesus gives special recognition. Not only does he heal her, but he also elevates her by calling her a daughter of Abraham. His payment? Her ability to stand straight and begin praising God. Despite that, Jesus is reprimanded for working on the Sabbath. We too are asked to weigh law against healing, compassion against rules, love against ritual. Our decision will change our lives and the lives of others forever. Now the full scripture from Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. Jesus heals a crippled woman. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on these days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. The moving forward question for this day: what needs healing in your life? Take it to Jesus in prayer. And that is all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.